The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is a special mock draft edition. I am Field Yates, hanging out with Matthew Berry and a cast of some of our best and brightest at ESPN Fantasy for a mock draft. We're going to introduce them
and
as
Daniel.
They make their picks.
And Daniel.
Oh, and Daniel. But no, I said best and brightest.
Right,
best,
that's the thing. And Daniel.
Bushiest as well. Best, fair. Brightest, and bushiest. Daniel with his beard looking as great as ever. Hello, Matthew. And not only are you part of this mock draft, but somehow you weaseled your way into the first overall pick. And we're going to get this thing moving fast and furious, my friend. You are now on the clock.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm annoyed about this because it's a mock draft. It was random order, and so I get the first pick. But you know what? It's a mock draft. It doesn't matter. When the drafts actually start happening in August, I always get pick 8, pick 9, pick 11, whatever. I never get a good pick. It's only here where it doesn't matter. Anyway, I'm taking Christian McCaffrey, and my analysis of why I'm picking him is he's good. Hashtag analysis. I think my favorite stat from last year was that if Christian McCaffrey had stopped playing after week 12, he still would have been the number one running back in fantasy. I have no concerns about the coaching change, but the quarterback change. He's a monster. I think he's the clear-cut no-brainer number one pick.
I have nothing to add to that in the interest of time. I'm going to move along to Matt Bowen, who is now on the clock at pick 2. And Matt, you have made your selection.
I did. I'm going with Dalvin Cook. I know Saquon's sitting there. Same with Zeke. But let me throw some quick numbers at you real quick on Dalvin Cook. Last year, 10 games with 20 or more touches, 13 rushing touchdowns, 53 receptions. She also ranked fourth at the running back position in yards per catch, and this is the best one, Field. Led the NFL with 29 goal-to-goal touches. It's the volume, the play speed, and the offensive structure in Minnesota. I love what he can do in that offense. He has downhill juice, catch the ball on screens and swings. I'm going with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, look, I have Barkley at 2, but I have Cook at 3, and it's hard to argue. The difference between the two guys is razor thin here. You know, the only knock on Dalvin, of course, is the injuries, and we've seen more of that. But obviously, Barkley got hurt last year as well. And so, listen, it's a run-first offense. As long as Gary Kubiak is there, you know they're going to be able to run the ball effectively. He's an insanely talented player. So, yeah, Dalvin Cook is a no-brainer here. Going up next is Keith Lipscomb, Not Cool Keith from the podcast. He's got pick 3.
Yeah, difficult call here because I think the upside for Dalvin Cook is pretty incredible. But injuries are a concern for me. And even though Saquon Barkley also dealt with injury last season, what he did as a rookie is enough for me. 91 catches. I'm not sure if he'll get 91 again this year. But I think that offense will be pretty good. So they're going to lean on him. I think 2,000 yards from scrimmage is a pretty sure thing as long as he can last the season. I'll take him at number 3.
Yeah, Keith, hard to argue with this one. Last year we had 4 players that were all in contention for the top pick, but it was Saquon Barkley who, of course, ended up as consensus 1.01. We wish he could have had Christian McCaffrey in that slot, but Barkley's still a unique talent. He really came on strong down the stretch last year. No argument for me at 1.03 with Saquon Barkley. Things continue to stay interesting, though, at the top of the draft. Damian Dombrowski, you have pick 4.
Yeah, this was a tough one because I was between Zeke and Michael Thomas. I went Zeke. I think there's a clear top 4 at running back in terms of just volume. And it's really hard to get a running back that's going to get you 20 touches on a good offense. So that was kind of the tiebreaker for me between Zeke and Michael Thomas. But I definitely thought about it.
Yeah, and I agree, honestly, with you. For people who are wondering who Damian Dombrowski is, he's the stat pillar on the fantasy show over there on ESPN Plus. New episode out this week. Be sure to check that out as well. But look, I mean, here's a guy that, you know, top 3 finish in touches, yards, and fantasy points last year. He's going to be a workhorse. I think that offense is going to be one of the better ones in the NFL. And so the position of wide receiver is certainly much deeper than running back. Getting a stud like Zeke here is, I think that's the correct call. And up now, FSWA Hall of Famer Tristan H. Cockcroft.
So I'm kind of surprised that Michael Thomas got to 5th overall. I think a case can be made that he's the number 2 overall pick in fantasy for this season, at least in a PPR league. The stat that stood out for me was 17 times in the past 3 years, he was a top 5 wide receiver for the week, and no other receiver came within even 6 of that during that time span. He's that dominant and, frankly, consistent as well. I feel like it's a no-brainer. Surprised he lasted the five.
Tristan, interesting here. I know that this is going to be a year where I'll be very patient with wide receivers because there's such incredible depth, but there's a one-man tier. It's Michael Thomas, who needs just 12 catches this year to set the NFL record for most catches through five seasons. I think he's going to be able to get that job done. Next up, the incomparable, the wonderful Starfania Bell. You have pick six, Stefania. Tell us who you're going with.
I'm going with Alvin Kamara, and Tristan made my choice easier because I struggle with taking a wide receiver so early, but Michael Thomas is such a talent, and Alvin Kamara can obviously be a threat in terms of pass-catching ability and rushing ability. Had a couple issues with ankle and knee last year, missed a couple games in the middle of the season, but still in all, given how much he touches the ball and given his role in the offense, remarkably durable in the overall scheme of things, and just didn't have to give it much thought right there.
You know, and Stefania, I like the fact that you pick him because, you know, he was injured a little bit last year. I saw him tweet something that he felt like he was only at 75%. So the fact that you're drafting him with your first pick tells us you're not concerned at all about any injuries, because I know you're always risk averse. So
goodness. Did you see the kettlebell drill thing that he posted on social media? I mean, he's still moving pretty darn well, so I'm good with that.
So we move on from Stefania to the man who is the star of the iRacing NASCAR circuit and who has done all the projections for ESPN Fantasy. It's Mr. Mike Clay.
What's going on, fellas? I'm going to go, and Stefania, of course. I'm going to go with Davante Adams here, second wide receiver off the board. You know, I thought about reaching a little bit for a running back, but I'm not in love with the group that's on the board right now. I would have liked to see Alvin Kamara fall there. But I'll go Adams. Look, when he played last season, he was the number two scoring fantasy wide receiver behind only Michael Thomas. I think the only concern here we have is that they added all those weapons in free agency in the draft, right? We knew that was coming. Oh, wait, no, they didn't. Of course they didn't. Woo-hoo! So it's just Davante Adams. It's going to be the Adams show again this season. Had a career-high target share last season. Should see something similar this season. Still in his prime years. I'm happy with Adams here in round one.
Yeah, all he does, Mike, is score 10 touchdowns per year, it feels like. I know last year he didn't, but up until that point he had three straight seasons with 10-plus. Last year bounced back very strong from that toe injury. The eighth pick is in. It was made by our own Secret Squirrel.
Yeah, Field, I decided to go looking here. I really wanted to go running back, but there isn't anyone that I wanted to really jump up this high, and there's so many good wide receivers left. I went with DeAndre Hopkins, and here's why. His target volume, just year after year, and I understand he's now in Arizona, he's got Kyler Murray, has just been astronomically huge for wide receivers. And I think that he's going to continue that. Even with Kyler under center, I think that we're going to see him continue to grow. That offense is going to be even better. And, you know, from that standpoint, I just don't see how you can go wrong with DeAndre Hopkins here at pick eight. I may be getting the best wide receiver in this entire draft, no offense to Michael Thomas, at eight. So I'm stoked with it.
Yeah, look, I mean, Hopkins, I think, has a monster year here. You know, the concerns are, does he connect with Kyler Murray? But Kyler Murray, who spent so much time out of the pocket last year, and DeAndre Hopkins is one of the most prolific fantasy producers on plays that come out of the pocket. And so Hopkins is one of the best deep ball threats in an offense that's going to be throwing a ton. Give me some DeAndre Hopkins, who's obviously motivated. We move from DeAndre Hopkins and Secret Squirrel to Tom Carpenter, who is a fantasy editor for us at ESPN.com. You guys don't really know his name, but he does a lot of work, and he's the reason you get to read so many great articles from all of us and make us look smarter than we are. Tom, who's up?
Hey, I'm picking at ninth, and I went ahead and took Travis Kelce. I know a lot of people like to wait a little more on the top tight end, but I've been a longtime proponent of picking up the elite ones, Gronk, Kelce. At this stage of the draft, you know, the surefire top running backs are gone. There's a lot of depth of wide receiver. Didn't really want to reach for another running back with some risk. So I went with the surefire Travis Kelce. He's about as safe as pick as it comes off after you got off the top few players in the draft.
I like that pick by Tom. Maybe a little bit rich for my blood. I'm ending up with the tight ends probably closer to somewhere in the middle of round two, depending on league size. But Tom has left me with a decision to make because I'm on the clock with pick 10, and I take Derrick Henry, from Tennessee Titans. A minute ago, Tom offered up he did not believe there are any more sure things at running back. I actually think Derrick Henry is quite close to it. I know that his pass catching is not in line with some of the backs that we've already seen, but he is, to me, the best touchdown maker left in this, or probably just in general in the NFL. He is my first overall pick. Darrington Evans, their third rounder, is the only competition he has in the backfield, and I use competition in borderline air quotes. Give me some Derrick Henry.
All right, Field Yates, no complaints there. I agree. Look, they built their entire offense around him. And weirdly, despite the fact that he got such heavy usage, here's a guy that's actually fairly fresh in terms of NFL running back usage because he came into the league, he was behind DeMarco Murray. And then, of course, there was the whole, you know, Deion Lewis disaster where they were using Lewis over Henry for the first part of that season. So nice pick there, Field. And we move on now to the show researcher, the 0610's very own thirsty Kyle Soppy.
I'm going Joe Mixon here. You guys have touched on the depth at receiver, so I'm going to pass on Julio, pass on Tyreek for right now. I'm going Mixon. I get one of four running backs that has 1,400 yards and at least eight touchdowns in each of the past two seasons. The other three guys went in the top four picks of this draft, so I'm not questioning the volume or the efficiency. I think I get the last kind of tier one running back that I'm willing to go RB1 in the first round here.
I like it, Kyle. Why not? As we were talking about running backs at a premium, I still think there are a couple other running backs that might actually have a case for being in tier one, but Joe Mixon, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, hard to argue with that production. And last but certainly not least, another Hall of Famer, Eric Carabell, who will round out round one and, of course, make the first pick in round two. Carabell, you go back-to-back, serve him up, two-for-one special.
Yeah, and I was kind of hoping that I could take a couple running backs here because that's the depth. When I get to my third and fourth round pick, I don't see a lot of running backs that I like that are going to be available, but how can I not take Julio Jones and Tyreek Hill here at the turn? I love picking last in a fantasy football draft, and this is exactly the reason why. Everyone else is picking up their running backs who don't belong there, and a tight end who certainly doesn't belong there, and I'm taking two wide receivers that could have been taken 5, 6, and 7. I was fine taking Eckler and Aaron Jones here, but how can I push away these two wide receivers? They're awesome.
Yeah, Eric, you certainly have stacked yourself up nicely. You have these two back-to-back wide receivers who offer plenty of volume and big playability. Round one is over, Matthew, and we're right back on to Thirsty Kyle, if I'm not mistaken, who gets his second pick.
That is correct, Field.
Yeah, I'm going another running back here. I mean, I just took Joe Mixon. I'm willing to double down. I really like the round three and four receivers, so we'll see how that plays out. But I'm going Austin Eckler here, 92
Dang
catches.
It.
Yeah, sorry, Field. Not really, though. I mean, 92 catches last year. No Melvin Gordon this year. No real reason to think he's under 200, 225 touches, maybe more. Love the efficiency. If he gets that kind of volume, he's a top 10 player, in my opinion. No questions asked.
Yeah, I thought about that one myself. Kyle, Matthew, what do you think about Austin Eckler there? A guy that we would have never thought a year ago would be a top 15 fantasy pick.
Well, because he produced not only without Melvin Gordon, but then when Melvin Gordon came back, he was still a top five fantasy running back from the time that Melvin Gordon came on. And so whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Justin Herbert under center, they're going to be looking for offense. There's a reason why they let Melvin Gordon go and they signed Austin Eckler. I believe, I'm not worried about the running back by committee talk, I believe he will be the focal point of this offense. And so given that we're in a PPR format, Eckler to me is a no-brainer here. There was one other running back that I liked, Field. We'll see if you go with him.
Well, I took Kenyon Drake, Matthew. I'm a little bit nervous. I basically made the decision between he and Aaron Jones. But, Matthew, as you've been already mentioning on Twitter, we might have to free Aaron Jones again, right? Yeah. After the Packers use a second-round pick on A.J. Dillon, factoring in Jamal Williams as well. I'm not saying that all three of them will see equal shares, but my reason behind Kenyon Drake is that the backfield depth in Arizona, not nearly as good. He's a better pass catcher, at least a more prolific pass catcher than Aaron Jones in the Arizona offense. So I have two running backs in the first 15 picks. And that brings us right back to our friend Tom Carpenter, who went Travis Kelce in round one.
Yeah, for me, this second pick, when I go ahead and take a tight end in the first round, I really want to make sure I get my running back set up as best as possible in the second round. I don't want to be lagging behind. That's one of the problems with taking a tight end in the first round is you're short on that running back or wide receiver spot when you get to the middle rounds. Now, the upside of getting to the middle rounds with a tight end on your roster is I'm not going to be chasing one. But right now, I'm going to take Aaron Jones. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of question marks here. He's got a little competition from the rookie.
But he's going to get the touches. It's a good offense, and I'm pretty happy with having him as my RB1.
Yeah, listen, you guys know I love Aaron Jones, but my concern is, again, hashtag free Aaron Jones. Does A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams take enough work about him and make him more of a higher-end RB2 than a lower-end RB1? But I love getting him here in the basically, you know, towards the middle of round two. I think it's nice value for you, Tom. So Aaron Jones is now on Team Carpenter. We move on to Secret Squirrel.
We do.
Squirrel, somebody's calling DeAndre Hopkins in round one for Secret Squirrel. Who's pick two for you?
Pick two, I've decided to go with a running back that had 1,206 rushing yards and 7 rushing touchdowns. That running back's name, obviously, is Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
Here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I would take Lamar Jackson in the second round, but part of what doing a mock draft is I want to see what my team could look like if I did go this early with Lamar. So I want to do these mock drafts and kind of see how is my team going to shape up as I go through the draft to see if I wanted to do this route when it came real time, what it's going to look like. I wanted to take Nick Chubb there. I really like Nick Chubb a lot, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with me trying to see what Lamar is like in my mock draft.
All right, Daniel, you are one sly squirrel there taking Lamar Jackson, referencing him as a running back first. He's a quarterback, but interesting that as we are now 18 picks in, 17 picks in, both Bucs wide receivers remain. I wouldn't have expected them to go after Lamar Jackson. We hand the baton off to Mike Clay.
All right, I'm going to go. Actually, I'm surprised this guy's here because I'm actually a little bit low on him at the running back position, and that is Nick Chubb. Look, I know his production fell off once Kareem Hunt came back in the second half, but he was still a top 15 fantasy running back, and now we have a new offensive coordinator. I think we'll have a little bit less dysfunction in that Browns offense, and man, the guy has been effective as a rusher, number one in yards per carry, second in yards after contact since he entered the NFL, ended up RB8 last season. I'll gladly take him in the middle stages here of round two.
Yeah, I would have preferred Nick Chubb to some of the other picks that went earlier. I'm surprised he fell this far. I agree with you, Mike. I think this is a really nice pick and great value here. Whatever amount of touches he loses to Kareem Hunt, I think is made up for the fact that I think that offense will be a lot better, more efficient, more scoring opportunities, and a better offensive line this year as well for Nick Chubb. So that's a real nice pick for you. We move on now to Stefania Bell. It's worth noting today it's Alex Smith's birthday, and Stefania is still basking in the glow of the success of her fantastic E60 piece on Alex Smith. I encourage you to check that out if you have not seen it yet. It is awesome. All right, Stefania, who are you picking in round two?
Well, thank you, my friend, for that nice setup. I'm taking Josh Jacobs, who I loved last year. I rarely go running back because I think the position is so vulnerable, but I really like the strength of the running backs that are still available. And I feel like the receivers are just so deep. Josh Jacobs missed 3 games, still had over 1,100 yards rushing. He had the shoulder issue, but the reason he missed games at the end was more that the team decided they wanted him to. This is a kid who was willing to play through injury. He's as tough as they come. I think things only get better for him past his first year in the league. Didn't catch as many balls maybe as he could, and I think that there's still opportunity for growth there, but I just love him on the ground.
One of Matthew's ride-or-die pick last year, I believe, was Josh right. Jacobs. He worked out pretty well for him and also for the Raiders. Stefania, me not being concerned, means that I am not concerned. So we head over now to Tristan Cockcroft. You are back on the clock.
And that one did particularly hurt Stefania. We have a history of taking each other's picks, I know, when we're drafting back-to-back. The Jacobs one does hurt. I was looking at him. That's going to force me into making the difficult decision at wide receiver from Tampa. You all know that I am not a big fan of Tom Brady necessarily for fantasy, but that's a lot about just the quarterback needs. I do like his receivers, though. Brady's arrival in Tampa is a very, very good thing for the offense as a whole. And if I'm going to pick between Godwin and Mike Evans, I'm going to take Godwin because I want the slot receiver, just the history with Brady and Edelman.
All right. We move. So, listen, I'm in on the Brady Bucks offense this year. I think Godwin has a huge year. I think Evans has a huge year. I think Brady actually has a huge year. So I am all in on Brady and the Bucks, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I certainly like the pick. That's a really nice value, I think. I had him much higher than a couple of the wide receivers that went ahead of him. So Godwin goes, and so we now move over from Tristan Cockcroft to the stat pillar, Damian Dabrowski.
Yeah, I really thought I was going to be able to get either Chubb or Josh Jacobs here, and then once that didn't happen, I was also going to go Godwin. So I went down and actually went with Miles Sanders, who I think some people might think is a little bit of a reach here. But if you look at what he did when Jordan Howard was out, he was getting nearly 20 touches a game, really good pass catcher. He was third among running backs in yards per reception. So the limited competition there, I know that Peterson has used multiple running backs in the past, but I think he's a guy that even on 16, 17 touches is explosive enough to make it worth it here.
Interesting upside play here by the stat pillar. I am hopeful that Miles Sanders will have this job largely to himself. He's a talented guy who really played well late last season when Philadelphia was down to their bare bones of skill guys. No Jordan Howard, who obviously missed a lot of time late last year as well. Doesn't feel like the team has really addressed the running back spot much this offseason. We go from Damian over to Keith.
Yeah, this was a tough one. I was definitely hoping that Jacobs would somehow fall and people would take more receivers. As we get to this point, though, I still love a lot of the receivers that are out there, and I know that I have a pick just a handful away. So one running back remains that I feel has a lot to prove this year, and that's David Johnson. He's just 28 years old. He'll be 29 by the end of the season, but I think that he has at least one more really good season in him, and I think there's a team that has invested quite a bit in him. So I think this is a real get back year for him, and I think he's going to have a big season. So I'm pretty happy to get him here at 22.
Yeah, I'm excited about David Johnson in Houston, Keith. I like the pick quite a bit. I think he's going to be a value in drafts throughout this year. Look, it's loosey-goosey math, but Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson last year, if you combine their stats, were the fifth best running back in fantasy. So just to show the running back position in Houston can be fantasy productive. They need this position to work the way that the Giants needed Saquon Barkley to work when they drafted him second overall. When you trade DeAndre Hopkins, David Johnson needs to work. I think he's just going to get massive volume and a good offense. So I like the pick. We now move over to Matt Bowen.
Well, going back to what Matthew said, Mike Evans is still on the board here. I'm not going to pass him up yet in the second round. Look, I think the offense is going to adapt a little bit with Tom Brady. I do not see it being as vertical as it was with Jameis Winston last year. But look at the play action, deep in breakers. That's what Mike Evans is going to cash in for, and he has the red zone ability. You take the guy who can create matchups, especially at this point in the draft, can't pass him up.
Yeah, at some point, you know, we have lowered the value of these two Bucs wide receivers because of the fact that it's probably not going to be as vertically inclined, and Gronk has been at it as well. But at some point, Matt, we just have to stop overthinking it. Mike Evans is a stud. He almost closes out round two. Matthew, you are here. Final pick of round two, as you had the first pick a long time ago, into Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you know what? And so I have back-to-back picks here, and yeah. I'm impressed by the value here in terms of talent. And you know what's interesting is that there's still a lot of good wide receivers out there, and again, you know, sort of, I'm going to take a page from Secret Squirrel right here, you know, seeing how your team turns out. So my first, obviously I went McCaffrey with the first pick. Coming back around, Chris Carson, who from everything I'm hearing out of Seattle, they expect him to be fully healthy. It doesn't seem like they're really that confident in Rashad Penny being healthy to start the season. The only really other running back they added was DJ Dallas, who I think projects more as a special teamers, more as a special teams guy, or maybe a third down back. So Chris Carson, once again, is going to get the majority of work on a very run-heavy team. Love Chris Carson, always underrated in fantasy. And so I've gone back-to-back, running back, and you think, well, maybe I should take a wide receiver here. Galladay's out there. I like Allen Robinson as well. But you know what? I just want to see what happens if I go running back. So I am taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I think could have a monster season in Kansas City as the number one running back for Andy Reid. I know there's talk about Damian Williams is still the starter and that there's a running back by committee, but Andy Reid, throughout the majority of his career, has always been a one running back guy. And I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire, no disrespect to Damian Williams, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is something special. So, listen, second place is just the first loser, right? You got to swing for the fences. Give me some CEH. I'm going three running backs We'll see what happens with my running wide receiver's depth when it comes back around to me.
As Matthew once eloquently told us, no risk it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire opens up the third round. We pass it for Matthew. Back over to Matt Bowen.
Well, I was looking at Edwards-Helaire because I love the fit, and especially the pass game volumes and getting Kansas City. But with him off the board, I'm going to go wide receiver again, Field, Kenny Galladay. With Matthew Stafford healthy, he's a different player. We all understand that. And plus, you look at Detroit. I don't believe in that defense at all. I know they added Jeffrey Okuda. They don't rush the passer well. They play a bunch of man coverage. I think you're going to see a lot of games this year where Matthew Stafford is playing hero ball and playing 7-on-7 late in football games. And because of that, I think the volume goes up for Kenny Galladay. Scoring opportunities go up for Kenny Galladay and also the vertical opportunities. I like the pick here.
All right, I'm okay with that, Matt. I just want to remind you, there's a rule in this podcast. If you're going to speak ill of the Lions, you got to tell Daniel to earmuff it first. So, Daniel, hopefully you weren't paying attention to that very sound and reasonable explanation from Matt Bowen.
Moving on from Matt Bowen, now it's Keith Lipscomb.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once again, I'm pretty happy with who fell here. There's a lot of good receivers. I could have gone, you know, the tight end route and grabbed like a Kittle. I just need to get a wide receiver. I think I have a long wait. I'd be disappointed to take this depth too far. So I took Adam Thielen. I just think he's going to get a huge target share with Diggs gone. And, you know, if you look at his last couple healthy seasons, an average of 100 catches a season, about 1,200 yards or so. The touchdowns, you know, could be a little bit of a concern since he's never had double digits. But I think he can get – he had 6 last year in an injury-plagued season, so and 9 the year before that. So I feel pretty good about Thielen as a real safe pick here at 27.
The question isn't talent. The question is only health, but we know he's going to be a volume monster with Stephon Diggs now in Baltimore. We expect Thielen, who, when he has gotten, you know, 8 or more targets in a game, is as good a wide receiver as there is in fantasy football. So in the third round, I like the value there, Keith. And we move on from Keith now to the stat pillar, Damian Dombrowski, on the clock for pick 3.
So I started with 2 running backs, so felt like I needed to go receiver here. Like Keith, I did think about George Kittle, but Allen Robinson, just really tough to pass up here. I mean, wide receiver 8 last season, despite Mitchell Trubisky throwing the ball nowhere near him most of the time. So you have to think that either Trubisky plays a lot better or they go to Nick Foles. And, I mean, this guy just – he's their entire passing game right now. He led all players in red zone target share last season, 3rd in overall target share. So just seems like a really, really high floor for a receiver in the 3rd round.
Really good player, and just to give people an update on where we're at, players like Leonard Fournette and George Kittle are highest-ranked, not-yet-selected players. We're at pick 29. Those guys are 21 and 22. Perhaps they go off the board now as we hand things over to Tristan H. Cockrock.
And Kittle, indeed, is going with my pick. I'm actually very surprised to see him last nearly to the 30th pick overall in this draft. At 29, I'll take him. I was thinking about him in the 2nd round, in fact. I'm a little bit iffy about going with the no running backs through 3 rounds. This is not usually what I do in a mock draft, but I'm curious, kind of like Daniel had said, to see how my team plays out here if I can fill running back on the cheap later.
From listen, you can't argue the position scarcity there with George Kittle. He's going to be the offense and one of the better offenses in the NFL. Stefania did slightly curse you underneath her breath. She was 1 pick away. I'm guessing Kittle would have been her pick had it dropped to her, but it does not. So now, Stefania Bell, FSWA Hall of Famer, Stefania Bell, you are on the clock.
Yeah, I love Kittle. I might have taken him there, but I'm surprising myself, actually, in drafting Odell Beckham Jr. here with my next pick. Wanted to go receiver, a lot of good choices on the board. I think he is primed for a bounce-back year. And he's never been a player that I've targeted, and he has had a history of injuries, which I think is always going to be a risk for him. But I like I just think Cleveland's going in a much better direction this year. He also had off-season surgery. He was never 100%, even in the preseason last year. And I think he is primed to kind of get back to being the guy that he was not last season, obviously, not the year before, but the year before that.
Not the year before. Okay, I got it. A few years ago, Odell Beckham Jr. was sweet. Stefania makes him her 3rd selection. And the upside for Odell still, I mean, it mirrors basically any other wide receiver in the NFL. Mike Clay, the board is yours.
All righty. I'm going to take a guy again. I'm surprised he fell here. I understand the concerns with Leonard Fournette, but to get him at this point as my number two running back in the third round, I'll gladly do that. Look, 15 games he was active last season, played 88% of the snaps, no lower than seventh on the season in carries, targets, receptions, touches, yards, fantasy points. The only thing that went wrong was touchdowns. He had atrocious luck, one of the unluckiest touchdown seasons we have ever seen. He had an expected total just over nine. He only had three touchdowns last season. That will regress to the mean. He's still 25. He's still the clear workhorse in this Jacksonville offense. I know there's a possibility that he could get traded, but if he gets traded, somebody's pretty desperate at running back at this point, right? And he's going to be their feature back. So I'm comfortable taking Fournette here.
Yeah, I mean, look – It's all role dependent, right? I mean, so the concern with Fournette is he traded or released? You know, the Jaguars certainly, they didn't pick up his fifth year option. There have been some off the field incidents as well. He got a ton of work in the passing game last year. Does that continue under Jay Gruden, who now just signed his old running back, Chris Thompson? You know, injuries have been a concern of Fournette, stayed healthy relatively last year, but, you know, throughout his career. So those are all the concerns. Having said that, if he goes back to being the workhorse, you just got a bargain, Mike Clay. We move from Mike Clay now to Secret Squirrel.
So I'm in a spot having taken Lamar Jackson earlier where I obviously need to look at running back. I don't want to force something, but I think Le'Veon Bell is a good pick here. I really like being able to get him. I think he's going to take a big step from what he did last year, obviously. He struggled quite a bit. Only three rushing touchdowns last year, only one receiving touchdown. I think another year, being able to be with his quarterback, who also missed a number of games due to mono. Thank you very much for that, Sam Darnold. I think that affected Le'Veon Bell a little bit. And so I'm just needing to find somebody to be able to play meaningful RB1 snaps for me. And I have Le'Veon Bell here. I think it was either him or Todd Gurley. And based on the injury situation, that's why I went with Le'Veon, just because I'm concerned about Gurley's health long-term.
We've reached the imperfect portion of the running back, so I understand there's going to be some mitigating factors for all of them. I hope for Le'Veon Bell's sake, the signing of Frank Gore does not mean a bunch fewer carries, because we know that despite his age, Frank Gore continues to feast almost every single week. Daniel, we go from you to Tom Carpenter, who, of course, is making his third pick.
Yeah, I'm in that kind of same spot, having, you know, Daniel went with Lamar Jackson. I gotta make my pick here. There we go. You know, Daniel took a quarterback early. I took a tight end early, and that means you have to kind of think things through and maybe reach a little bit at times to flesh out the rest of your roster. I'm going with Todd Gurley in this spot because he's really the top. I mean, the talent's still there. Obviously, the health is a real issue, but he's in a good offense. If they turn him loose, obviously his upside is terrific, especially at this point in the draft. And there's still just tons of great wide receivers out there. So I'm heading into round four with no wide receiver. So you can expect that to be something I'll be targeting in the next couple of rounds.
You are definitely right. There's a lot of depth. So Matthew, sorry to take this away, but I'm going to head on and make my pick.
Go for
DJ
it.
DJ Moore, after going running back, Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake to begin. I land DJ Moore in the back end of the third round, a guy who had nearly 90 catches last year, and that was with, as we know, for almost the entirety of the season, backup quarterback play. I think this is a team that's going to be predicated upon runs after the catch. It feels like forever since we heard from Kyle Soppy. So, Kyle, you're up, bud.
Yeah, I got two running backs on my roster, so definitely looking pass catcher here. I've got three receivers I'm interested in for two spots over our next two picks. I'm going to Amari Cooper, highest receiver on the board, highest receiver on my board. Much more efficient in the slot last season than he was outside. I think he moves in the slot a little bit more with CeeDee Lamb. I trust Dak. I trust that to be one of the most explosive offenses in the league. Happy with him as my wide receiver one this year.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue with Amari Cooper. You know, the concern, the only concern on Amari Cooper is just the inconsistency, right? He'll have some big games and then seems to disappear. But I agree with you, adding CeeDee Lamb. Look, I have Dak Prescott as my QB3 this year, and that's one of the reasons why, is just because I think that offense is ready to take a big step forward after already being one of the better offenses in the NFL. So to get him at basically the end of round three as your wide receiver one, I think no complaints there. Amari Cooper is like a borderline top 12-ish guy. And let's see, we go from Thirsty Kyle now to Eric Carabel for two, FSWA Hall of Famer, Eric Carabel.
I don't like either of these picks, but I will say I didn't see anything here that I really liked, and I would not go back and change what I did with my first two picks. I probably could have taken Eckler over one of those receivers, and I would have been fine with two receivers here. I ended up taking Juju Smith-Schuster and Melvin Gordon. They both come with risk. However, I do think that Juju, now that Ben Roethlisberger is back, is going to have a fine season. I'm not expecting 100 catches or anything like that, but 1,000 yards, 75 catches, 8 touchdowns, that's all I need here. And Melvin Gordon, you know, I know they have Philip Lindsay there. They can share the touches. But Gordon does catch passes. He does miss games. But I think at this point, I don't see another running back that I like better. And that's kind of how you make decisions when you get to this point of the draft.
Gordon's a fascinating one.
Go ahead, Field. What are you going to say?
I was going to say Gordon's a fascinating one because I have a hard time figuring out what to make of the Broncos' backfield. Just as good as Philip Lindsay is, maybe there's some sort of message in giving Melvin Gordon a 2-year, $16 million deal. So, Eric, I understand the predicament you were in. But as I said earlier when Daniel made his Le'Veon Bell pick, we're at the imperfect portion of the running back tier. And, Eric, you go goes from you to Kyle Soppy right back on the board.
Yeah, I've got two receivers left on the board that I think could be legit top 10 players at the position this year. I'm going with Tyler Lockett here. Over the last 3 years, he's got 10 times as many touchdown receptions as he does drops. I'll take that consistency. Matthew touched on Amari Cooper's up and down. He's already on my roster. I think, you know, the month blip last year for Lockett's not a big deal. Consistent producer. Love the floor he gives me.
Yeah. You know, listen, he's got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL throwing to him. He's the number one wide receiver on that offense. The only concern is, yeah, there'd be no question marks if it wasn't for that month or so where he just completely fell off the map. The emergence of DK Metcalf, does that take anything away? They added Philip Dorsett. You know, so you hope that the volume is still there for Tyler Lockett, but obviously a talented player, good offense, great quarterback, and we're here at the top of round four. And we move from Thirsty Kyle back to the handsomest man on Nantucket, Field Minister Yates.
Wow, why, thank you very much, Matthew. And the reason why I went running back early is because I love the wide receiver depth throughout the draft process, which includes the fourth round, where I just landed Courtland Sutton, who I think will be a trendy pick for even further breakout this season after 72 catches and over 1,100 yards last year. Courtland Sutton joins my most recent pick, DJ Moore. So back-to-back ascending players going into their third season should be stars.
The only concern on Courtland Sutton, of course, is the addition of Jerry Jeudy. They have Noah Fant, who's emerging. They did add Melvin Gordon as a nice pass catcher. So does he get the same kind of insane target share that he did last year, which I want to say off the top of my head was 26%? Having said that, insanely talented player who had some actual bad touchdown luck last year. So, again, at the top of round four here, as your number two, I think he's your number two wide receiver, Field, right?
My number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, DJ Moore, baby.
If Courtland Sutton is your number two wide receiver, I think you're, especially in the fourth round, you're feeling pretty good about things. Seeing if,
Tom Carpenter is up next.
Do you feel pretty good about the pick you just made? Because I see it there on my screen.
Well, it's funny because I just said on my last pick that I was going to address wide receiver, and here I am. I just took Patrick Mahomes. And I guess my thinking here is, A, obviously he's Patrick Mahomes. But B, one approach I like to take when I'm building a team is to try to win each position each week. I've got Patrick Mahomes. I should win that position most weeks. I have Travis Kelce. I should win that position most weeks. I have Aaron Jones and Todd Gurley. If things click, I should be in good shape at both running back spots. And now I'll just try to lean on the depth of wide receiver going forward. Now, if I don't take some wide receivers coming up soon, somebody should smack me upside the head, I guess.
Well, we'll have to do it. We'll have to do it socially distant. So
right.
Fair enough.
Put a hand to slap you across the face, Tom. But certainly you're not going to lose your league with Patrick Mahomes on your roster. So we go from Tom Carpenter to Secret Squirrel.
There he is.
Kerryon Johnson still available, Secret Squirrel.
Kerryon Johnson is still available. It's tough for me, though, because I feel like I have a little bit – I don't have to worry about the running back position as much based on the running quarterback that I have. Although, you know, I'm sort of at that spot where if I wait another round or two, do I feel like I'm going to get that much less value? And when I look at the wide receivers here, still needing another wide receiver, I like Keenan Allen. I get Keenan Allen no longer is going to have Phillip Rivers, and whether it's going to be Tyrod or Justin Herbert that's going to be throwing the football, He is just that sure-handed guy that you know that you can always count on. I understand he's coming off a boom or bust season. You know, he kind of went back and forth last year and wasn't really the Keenan Allen we wanted all, you know, throughout the entirety of the year. But this is a guy that should give me double-digit fantasy points every single week. And as my wide receiver too, a guy that's going to give me 12 to 15 on most weeks and 20-plus on other weeks, I love being able to get him here with the value that I have.
All right, there you have it, Keenan Allen. But a really interesting team this year, right? There are people that are wondering, is this an offense you want to be targeting, given that Tyrod Taylor, such a low-volume passer in his previous 10 years as a starter, both in Buffalo and Cleveland. But the value for Keenan Allen in the fourth round seems appropriate for me. He could have, as always, 80-plus, maybe even 100 catches. So from Daniel to Mike Clay we go.
Yeah, guys, I'm going to go with a player who called me out on Twitter earlier today, Calvin Ridley. I'm going to aim for a little upside here and show him that there's still love between us two. Look, this guy has been hyper-efficient so far in his career. Last season caught almost 70% of his passes, averaged 8 yards per target. He actually was, you know, he missed some time with the injury, but when he was on the field, he finished 27th or better in 9 of his 13 outings, had a very high floor. He was actually wide receiver 14 the weeks he was active. So, look, there's just not really many options in this offense. You have Todd Gurley in the backfield. You have Julio Jones. Maybe Hayden Hurst takes over a chunk of what Austin Hooper did. But otherwise, it's the Calvin Ridley show. And if 31-year-old Julio Jones drops off or misses time, it's even more work for Calvin Ridley. So I'm going to go a little upside here over some of the other options on the board.
I'm trying to find a Calvin Ridley tweet at you right now, Mike. I'm going to go track that one down.
Yeah, I didn't know you and Calvin Ridley were getting into it. I don't know why you hate Calvin Ridley so much. I'm hashtag Team Ridley without even knowing what the dispute is about.
Having Listen, only that, one of us drafted Calvin Ridley, so I'll just say that.
Fair enough. What I will say here, Mike, is I agree with you, though. I think Ridley is going to be a very trendy sleeper this year, you know, sleeper in the way that Chris Godwin was a sleeper last year, somebody that's going to go in the first four rounds of drafts, but should have a monster year. You look at his numbers once Austin Hooper got injured last year. When he gets targets, he produces. They don't have a lot else. As you mentioned, it's Russell Gage, it's Hayden Hurst, it's Julio Jones, Todd Gurley out of the backfield. I mean, they don't have very much depth. And so given the injury concerns of Julio in his 31-year-old season, yeah, Ridley, I think, is an ascendant player, and I like the upside here. We go from Mike Clay to Stefania Bell, who I just know is going to snake me. She always does.
Well, we're all sniping each other in this round because Mike Clay took Calvin Ridley, who is my next choice right there. And I thought maybe he was doing it because he loves Keenan Allen and Keenan Allen got taken from him. So, but I'm happy with your little Cooper Kupp, Matthew, because he's already proven that he could come back from this ACL injury. And he did it perhaps better than most in terms of how great he looked from the get-go, right? Out of the gate, had a weird little drop off about three quarters of the way through the season, but then came back to score a touchdown, I believe, in 5 consecutive weeks. So he's still going to be a favorite target of Jared Goff. I know what his work ethic is in the offseason. I love Cooper Kupp. Can't say much more about him.
He's my little Cooper Kupp, you know.
Good call on the snaking right there, Matthew. You nailed that one from a mile away. So Stefania takes Cooper Kupp, and we go from Stefania to Tristan.
And I face a difficult choice between 4 running backs I value pretty equally. I'm clearly going to go there, having not taken a single one in my first 3 rounds, an unusual strategy. I'm going to take the upside option of the 4, and I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor of the Colts and hope that it is going to be his job instead of a 1-2 punch with Marlon Mack. Mack did not have a great finish to last year. He had some very disappointing games late, and I don't think you draft a player like this who put up the numbers he did in Wisconsin without giving him a sizable role. So I'm going to go for the upside, the chance that he runs away with this job.
All right, so it's the second rookie running back off the board, by the way, if my math is correct, for Tristan, who next up is Damian.
Yeah, I'm going to go with A.J. Brown here. I mean, this guy was absolute stud the second half of last season, wide receiver 6 from week 8 on. He led all receivers actually in yards per target. He was 2nd in fantasy points per catch. So, I mean, as Mike Clay will tell us, he will regress. We're not going to see that efficiency again, but the volume will also go way up. We saw they declined the option on Corey Davis, so I don't think they're going to be trying to work him into the offense too much this season. We know they don't throw to the running back. So, super talented player, and I think he gives the upside there is a great to pair with Allen Robinson, who I took the round before, being more of a high floor player.
the only argument on AJ, the only negative argument on AJ Brown is, you know, will he get an increase in volume? Because so much of his production was based on big plays. He was getting, like, you know, there'd be games where he'd get four targets or, you know, and, but he'd have over 100 yards because he'd have one big play. Having said that, I'm with you. I think he's a special player. I think they found something. There's clearly a connection between him and Tannehill. I was hoping he would fall to me. So we go from AJ Brown to Damian, the Statapillar, to Not Cool Keith. Who you taking, Not Cool Keith? I saw you wearing a Browns helmet earlier. Jarvis Landry's still out there.
Yeah, I love Jarvis and all, but I think you got to go a little upside here. I was really hoping out of the last four picks, you know, seeing Ridley, Kupp, and Brown go. I wanted one of those three guys, ideally, but in that order, actually. So they went in the order I would have taken them as well. But in this case, I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin. I think that what he showed as a rookie was really impressive. I think that there's a lot more growth there for him and for that offense. So I think that, you know, they're going to look to him a lot. I think his target share should be very strong, and he's got a lot of big plays in him. As a number two wide receiver, for me, I'm pretty excited about him as well.
All right. Keith takes Terry McLaurin. I'm sure Matthew would have liked that pick. He mentioned Jarvis Landry's on his radar. Matt Bowen, you are up next. Pick 11 in round four.
Well, I'm going to take Jarvis Landry. This year. Just the structure under Kevin Stefanski. I think Baker has a bounce back year. Heavy play action, heavy scripted, heavy scheme passing game. You're going to see some deep shots down the field to Jarvis Landry to open voids in the coverage. They're going to scheme him up underneath with catch and run opportunities. I think the volume will be there. I just like to pick. I like the Cleveland offense field, and I know we said that last year too. Everyone did. We all know that. Much more structure this year. Much more play action. Much more defined reach for the quarterback. I like Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry, the second Browns wide receiver to go off the board, and he goes nearly at the close of round four. Matthew Berry, you actually have the opportunity to close out round four and start round five. Have at it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you guys remember, I went running back with my first three picks, banking on the fact that there was enough wide receiver depth that I would be able to get somebody here at this position. And I can't believe that Robert Woods fell to me. Robert Woods is super boring. He doesn't have an interesting name or a wacky nickname or anything like that. All he does is produce fantasy points. He's been a top 15 fantasy wide receiver each of the last 2 years. No Brandon Cooks. He's a massive target hog as well. Love my little Cooper Kupp too. But Robert Woods, who was a top 14 wide receiver last year, and I think he only scored two touchdowns. Maybe he scored three, but he had bad touchdown luck. And so with no Cooks there, I think he remains a focal point of that Rams passing offense. I love Robert Woods as my number one wide receiver, again, since I've gone running back. And you know what? Since Stefania took my little Cooper Kupp, I'll go some upside here with a second wide receiver. Give me some Deebo Samuel, who I think has just an absolute monster season. From week eight on, he was a top 10 fantasy wide receiver last year. Emmanuel Sanders is now in New Orleans. Yes, you've got George Kittle there, and yes, it's a run-first offense, but the ability of Kyle Shanahan to get the ball into Deebo Samuel's hands in a variety of different ways and take advantage of all the different skills he brings on the jet sweeps, on the passes, getting him and taking advantage of yards after catch with Deebo. I love Deebo this year. Happy to get him as my number two wide receiver, and I know if anything goes wrong, I can always trade him to Stefania.
That's a good point there. Very good point at the end of it. So Matthew goes wide receiver around the bend, and we go right back to Matt Bowen.
Yeah, Phil, I'm going to take Cam Akers here. And, you know, you're projecting a little bit there that he wins the number one job in Los Angeles, but that number one job is open right now. I know they drafted Darrell Henderson last year, who I liked as well, coming out of Memphis. But when a team goes back and drafts another running back the next year in the second round, it tells me they're ready to play him. And Cam Akers, look, guys, he's a professional runner. That's what he showed in his Florida State film. Downhill power, downhill contact balance, tested well at the combine, can catch the ball in the backfield. Excellent open field vision. Good fit for the zone scheme. Good fit for those throws of the flat and the screen game in L.A. and Sean McVay's system. I'm betting he wins the job in camp, and he's my RB2.
Yeah, a guy that came into Florida State with major acclaim too, Matthew. And he delivered. I know Florida State has stunk for the past 3 years, but Cam Akers was not the reason they were bad.
And he was a touchdown machine at Florida State Field. And then you think about the Rams, who last year in a season in which their offensive line was brutal, they couldn't run the ball effectively. Todd Gurley still had double-digit rushing touchdowns last year because they were top three in the NFL in red zone rush percentage. So I think when they get in close, it is going to be Cam Akers this year, even if he's part of a committee. In the fifth round, I like the upside pick. We go from Matt Bowen to Keith Lipscomb.
I'm going to take a little shot here. I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt. And this is all about talent. I just think Kareem Hunt as a talent is really going to be difficult to keep off the field. And I understand that Nick Chubb is as good as he is because I love watching him play and he runs so hard. But I think that as a receiver, Kareem Hunt is special out of the backfield, and they're going to find ways to get him matched up with people. The amount of talent that they have on that offense should make that easier to do. And even though he may not get the workload that you would normally want, he is going to be a flex for me on my team, so it makes it a little bit easier than if he were RB2. But for me as a flex, I just think the upside that Kareem Hunt carries is pretty immense. And obviously, if there were an injury that were to strike to Nick Chubb, then it would make it, immediately I think that Kareem Hunt could be a top five running back.
Keith goes with his heart and his head there by taking a Cleveland Browns player. So Kareem Hunt is what, the fourth Browns player. They might have more players selected than anybody else as we are now into the fourth pick of the fifth round. We hand it back to David.
Yeah, so I went tight end here. I went with Mark Andrews, who I actually would take over Zach Ertz, as I just did here. But Andrews targeted over 36% of his routes last season. That led not only all tight ends, but all players. I know Baltimore doesn't throw it a lot, but when they do, they throw it to Andrews. Hayden Hurst is gone. I don't still trust their receiver group. Hopefully Hollywood Brown has a better season. But I just think even with limited volume, he has such a massive role in that offense. I like having that top five tight end option here.
Stat a pillar with some stats on Mark Andrews, who no longer has to worry about Hayden Hurst taking a few snaps away as well. They're all in on Mark Andrews, the starting tight end, one of the best offenses in football. We now move on to one of the co-hosts of the Fantasy Focus Baseball podcast, Tristan H. Cockrock.
And of the four running backs I mentioned in that tier with my last pick, two of them remain, which means I've got a choice here. And while I really do like the consistency of Mark Ingram, the clutter in that backfield makes me a little bit wary. I'm going to go to Buffalo's, which does have similar clutter. Granted, my take is Zach Moss is probably going to take the short yardage work and maybe the goal line work. So I could be missing out on some touchdowns here, but I like Devin Singletary. I think Singletary gives me a decent amount of upside. I think he's ready to take a big step as a number one running back.
Remember, the Bills were confident in Singletary going into last year. They traded Shady McCoy on the eve of the season. I should say cut Shady McCoy on the eve of the season. Frank Gore still got some work, but Singletary has lots of upside for Tristan. Stefania is up next.
I can't unmute. Okay, there we go. There we go. Well, I had to draft a 49er at some point, so I went with Raheem Mostert, who I just love. His emergence, really. You saw it late in the prior season, but last year, Matt Breida is gone now. Obviously, there's a tandem between him and Tevin Coleman, but I love the skill set, breakaway speed, the hands of a special teamer. I think he's the number one if there's a 1-2 between him and Coleman. Jarrett McKinnon's still there, but after 2 years away from the game, he's got a ways to go to earn himself a spot and playing time. And remember, I already have Alvin Kamara and Josh Jacobs. So having Raheem Mostert as an extra on my bench, I love.
So
Stefania goes to their heart.
Listen, Raheem must start is a great pick at this point. After your 49ers stole Trent Williams from me, that offensive line is just going to continue to maul people. It's one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. It can support two fantasy relevant wide receivers. And Mostert, who was such a star down the stretch for him, for Kyle Shanahan and the Niners last year, could be very special this year in fantasy. I like the pick, Stefania. Let's move on now to Mike Clay.
All right, so I have two running backs, two wide receivers. I'm looking for my flex here. I thought about going Zach Ertz at tight end. He's a nice value here, but I like the depth there. So I'm going to take a guy who I have 20th on my board at wide receiver, T.Y. Hilton, who I think is going to slide into a similar role to Keenan Allen for Phillip Rivers this season in this Colts offense. I know he missed time last season, and he's 30 years old, but he was very healthy during the first six seasons of his career, and he was also actually his first seven seasons in the league and was a top 27 fantasy receiver during all of them. Last year, he was 13th at receiver, during the weeks he was healthy. So I expect to bounce back a healthier season from T.Y. Hilton and to be a big part of, on a good Colts team that I think is going to make the playoffs. Actually, I have them as the 3 seed in the AFC.
Yeah, Mike has already done his projections for the entire league for all of the year. T.Y. Hilton to Mike, Phillip Rivers, his new quarterback, Daniel Dopp, 5th round. What do you got?
So I decided to go tight end here. I'm glad Mike didn't go with Zach Ertz because he's a guy that can fill out that position for me, and I know that I can get at least a top 4 guy. I know there's some conversation there with Mark Andrews, but here's the thing. Zach Ertz is still going to be the number 1 guy there in Philly for Carson Wentz. He's just going to be. I'm not worried about the wide receivers. I'm not worried about Alshon. And so for me to be able to get him here basically as a wide receiver to plug into my tight end position, understand that Dallas Goedert is there and he's going to be someone to have to watch out for. But I think here at the tail end of the 5th round to get Zach Ertz here is pretty good value.
Can't complain about getting what most people consider to be a top 3 tight end here at towards the end of the 5th round. I know they love Dallas Goedert there and they've added a bunch of wide receivers, but the truth is that when Carson Wentz is on the field, he likes to throw to the middle of the field. He likes Goedert and Ertz. We'll see what happens with Alshon Jeffrey. And there's a lot of unproven pass catchers in Philadelphia right now. Zach Ertz is not one of them. So I believe the 4th tight end off the board now, Zach Ertz to Secret Squirrel. And we now head over to Tom Carpenter.
Well, it took me 5 rounds, but I finally got myself a wide receiver. I was watching Hilton slide and slide and slide. I thought he might make it to me. That would have been a nice little bonus, but I went with A.J. Green. The health is an obvious concern, but if he does come back at full health, taking that full season off, getting his foot ankle back into shape, hopefully hit the ground running. And, the last time we saw him, he was one of the top 7 to 10 wide receivers in the game. So I'm hoping that comes through.
He's back. He's healthy. That's good news. And by the way, the Bengals skill group looks pretty fun on paper right now. He is the first of their wide receivers to be selected. I'm up next. And I took the last tight end that I think has the chance to be the target leader in an offense that I have some real confidence in. That is Evan Engram of the Giants. He's got to stay healthy. We all know that. But the Giants skill group is one of the most fascinating in football. They just didn't get the chance to play together last year. But I like that offense on paper going into this season. And that means Kyle Soppy is up next.
Yeah, give me some DJ Chark here. I mean, he's not even 24 years old yet. Number 1 target in that offense. I don't think Fournette's going to be there when all is said and done and the games start up this year. So we're looking at a target share that should be 20, maybe 25%. Minshew takes a step forward. He's 6'3". Come on. I think Jacksonville's playing from behind with no run game. I like where I'm at here with him as my wide receiver 3 flex play now.
And, he was a top 20 wide receiver, and that was with Minshew last year coming in, just sort of trying to find the field. They're going to be a much more pass-friendly offense under Jay Gruden, who's their new offense coordinator, Ben McAdoo, their new quarterbacks coach. Both guys like to throw. It's going to be a very throw-heavy offense. So like the pick of DJ Chark, getting him at the end of the 5th round, we now go to the other co-host of the Fantasy Focus Baseball Podcast, Eric Carabel, for 2.
All right, so two running back situations here where a team drafted a kid early on. The Ravens, I don't think, have to go to J.K. Dobbins right away. So I took Mark Ingram, who was a top 10 running back last season, scores touchdowns, can catch passes. I don't think Dobbins is going to be much of a factor right away for Baltimore. For Detroit, they have to use DeAndre Swift right away because Kerryon Johnson is not that good. Dobbs shaking his head, but he's wrong. Swift is a monster. Philly kid, caught passes and ran the ball really well at Georgia. Young, not a lot of mileage on those tires. I think he's going to score touchdowns right away. I thought he would go around earlier. So I don't want to take 2 rookies, but I don't want to take 2 older players either. So Swift and Ingram for me.
All right, Eric Carabel goes back-to-back with running backs. An announcement here, picks are being reduced down to 45 seconds. It's rapid fire. We may not get to every single pick for the duration of this podcast, but we'll get to some of the notable ones. So we move along here to the 6th round, and I am now up. And I'll just tell you that I'm taking Julian Edelman because we thought about great connections of all time in the game of football, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. Who says that Jared Stidham to Julian Edelman can't be the next great connection?
No one says that yet. Who can't say it? You never know. Listen, they're going to have to throw to somebody. So it'll be interesting whether it's Edelman or N'Keal Harry. We'll see what happens in New England. We now move on from Julian Edelman and Field Yates. We're 45 seconds on the clock as we try to move this along. And Tom Carpenter is up.
Yeah, I went ahead and locked in my second wide receiver there. I took DK Metcalf. I love his talent, love his quarterback, love his opportunities. I think he's going to have a huge year.
So from Tom Carpenter now to Secret Squirrel. Secret Squirrel.
I was shaking my head, Eric Carabell.
DeAndre Hopkins is still available.
I wanted DeAndre Swift, not because of what you said about Kerryon Johnson. I wanted him to fall to me a couple more picks. I need a running back here. I'm going to go with James Conner. I understand the injury concern. But listen, this is a kid that we've seen absolutely crush it when he's healthy, and if he gets Big Ben back and that offense can get rolling, he's a guy that can be great value here in the sixth round for me, if he can stay healthy.
So James Conner now to Secret Squirrel. Over to Mike Clay.
All right, so I went where did I go here? I went Darren Waller at the tight end position. So, again, you know, from the last time I had my two running backs, I had my three receivers. So I'm just looking at starting spots at tight end and quarterback. I'm obviously going to lean towards tight end. And I have a top five guy on my board here with Darren Waller, who had such a high floor last season with the Raiders with a massive target share. I know they injected some life into the wide receiver position, but look, Waller is still going to be a huge part of that offense. So I'll take him gladly here.
All right. So Mike, you are followed right after that with by Stefania, and you made a very notable selection here.
That's right. Do you remember when this guy used to be drafted in like the end of the first or the beginning of the second round? And that's when he was playing on one leg with a bad arm and, you know, bad back. Now he's had a year off, and there's a reason that he went back to the game of football with his favorite quarterback, Rob Gronkowski, obviously. Look, I know there's competition at the tight end position, but honestly, who do you think Tom Brady's going to throw it to?
Keyshawn Vaughn.
So just moving along quickly here.
Gronk fall by Devontae Parker, and then Stephon Diggs and Tyler Boyd. Damian took Stephon Diggs, sort of interesting player just because really talented, but we wonder how he'll fit within that Buffalo offense. Josh Allen needs to improve accuracy-wise. Was at 58.8% last season. Here's an interesting one that just took place. Matt Bowen, our film guru, one of the smartest guys you'll meet, goes with Henry Ruggs III from the Las Vegas Raiders. Matt, you bullish on his prospects?
I am, Field. Look, everyone looks at the 40 time, 4.27. We know he can get down the field. Look, he's much more than just a vertical guy, Field. There's detail to his route running. Played in a pro route tree at Alabama. I understand Derek Carr is not very much a vertical thrower, but they're going to run over routes. They're going to run crossers. This guy can catch the ball and take it to a house on a three-step slant route. I think he gets more volume than people expect.
Okay, there you have it there. He's certainly fast. As you mentioned, Matt, there's a lot more to his game. Matthew, you're back on the clock for a pair of picks.
Yeah, so first off, I went, remember I went running back, and then I went, and then I went two wide receivers, and so I've got a stack right here. I have Dak Prescott as my number three quarterback here. Again, when you pick on the end, you have to remember, like, it's 20-some-odd picks before you get to pick again, so you got to grab who you want. I got Dak Prescott and Michael Gallup, so I like that connection right there. I don't think people realize how close Gallup was production-wise to Amari Cooper last year. Their numbers were much more similar than I think you might think at first glance, and so I Gallup, an emerging player, adding to my wide receiver depth because I went with the three running backs up top, so adding to that wide receiver depth and getting Dak Prescott, who I think is a top three quarterback this year. He was a top three quarterback last year. I like the two. I like the two players there.
All right, we're into the seventh round. People are starting to choose quarterbacks a little bit off the board. Some depth player, running backs, rookies are flying off the board. These teams are starting to shape up. Anything stand out to you, Matthew? Big picture amongst players that are still available.
There's a lot of guys, right? And so it's always interesting. Listen, in this group, quarterbacks always last. The fact that, Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson are still out there as well. But the depth of wide receiver, again, it's like sort of really incredible. I mean, it's pretty ugly when you start getting into the running backs here, but there's still some really good wide receivers out there.
There sure are. Yep. It's and as we've been talking about throughout the draft process, there's just plenty of depth at the wide receiver spot in general here. We have seen, though, a little mini run of quarterbacks starting to come off the board here in the seventh round. As we have just a few minutes left here, I was just thinking, Matt, maybe it'd be fun for everybody to give sort of an analysis of their team so far, how they're feeling about it. So I'm going to start. I'm just going to go down the line here. I'm going to start with Eric Carabell, because you had the pick last. How about you get first crack of just general thoughts in, like, you know, 15, 20, 30 seconds about your team so far?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little surprised that both Julio Jones and Tyreek Hill fell to the last pick of the first round. I had to take them both. I'm happy with my team so far. I have enough running backs. I'm going to take some running back upside picks later on. I'll wait until the end of quarterback only because I need one. But this is kind of going the way I thought it would. A couple surprising picks, I guess, the tight ends early and the quarterback. Lamar Jackson and Mahomes are pretty similar, but they didn't go similar in this draft.
Yeah, I agree on that one, Eric. Thirsty Kyle, you're up next.
I love the team I put together here, quite honestly. I mean, everybody else saying, like, Daniel wants – you know, I want to see what my team looks like with Lamar, and Matthew said something similar, and Matt Bowen said something similar. I think I'm just going to win this league with this team. I open with a pair of running backs and then three receivers after that. All of my receivers are going to catch touchdowns, ton of volume for my running backs up top. Like Eric said, I'll grab a quarterback when I grab a quarterback, but I'm happy with what I did from the 11th spot here so far.
Kyle, calling a shot to win
somebody
the league.
Who looks at you the way Kyle looks at his drafted team in May.
Yeah, man.
You know,
Tom Carpenter, what do you think on yours?
Who, me?
Tom Carpenter. Unless your name is now Tom Carpenter.
Yeah. I'm the real Tom Carpenter. And, you know, I wouldn't normally take a quarterback and a tight end that early. I do take tight ends a lot early on, especially with this group. I know I could wait and wait and wait and take a quarterback in round 75 and probably get a good starter. But overall, I'm pretty happy with this team. I got an elite quarterback, elite tight end. Couple of good running backs. I got a little luck with wide receivers. I'm going to stack them up a little bit more going forward, and hopefully my team will work out just fine.
Secret Squirrel, you are up next for your team recap. And for those that are listening right now, a full recap of this draft will be available online via the Just As You Heard From Tom Carpenter. I'm on the clock, by the way. But Daniel, you tell us about your squad.
Yeah, this is the thing. Sometimes you try something in a mock draft to see how the team plays out to decide whether you want to take it into a real-world situation. Having Lamar Jackson, I do not love Le'Veon Bell or James Conner as my two starting running backs for the season. As a part of that, I have to remember I drafted Lamar to sort of be a running back for me, give me some of those running back numbers as well as a passer. So love DeAndre Hopkins, love Keenan Allen, even though I understand the worries there, and getting Zach Ertz. I like a lot of what I did, but I just feel so underwhelming at running back that it's going to make me have to try this strategy a couple more times before I feel comfortable with it.
I like your honesty. How about you, Mike Clay?
Yeah, I like my squad. I didn't really take many chances because I didn't have to. I just found values on the board for the most part. Chubb and Fournette at running back, Adams, Ridley, and Hilton at wide receiver, one of them being a flex. And Russell Wilson got myself a borderline top five quarterback and Darren Waller, a top five tight end. So I'm really happy with that. It's solid. It's high floor. It's reliable. And now I can go after upside in the second half of my draft. I really like that strategy. I like the way it's worked out so far.
Star Fania Bell, what can you tell us about your squad?
I like my running backs quite a bit. I went with two running backs off the top, Kamara, Josh Jacobs. The wide receiver's so wide open. I almost want to go back and look when we're all done and see, like, where the best value comes into play. I'm thinking about, you know, the other thing is I think there are a couple rookie wide receivers who are primed to make an impact right away. I'm just kind of curious to see where all of us pick them and how that evolves, you know, as we get closer to the season.
All righty. And moving along from Stefania to our team recap, we go to Tristan.
I'm feeling pretty strong at wide receiver and tight end, taking those guys in my first three picks. I've got a pretty strong foundation there. Feel all right with the wide receiver depth as well. But it's kind of a to be determined based on the upside running backs I get in the later rounds. My big worry with that is, you know, I'm a big proponent of taking my quarterback late, letting a value fall into my lap. If that doesn't happen, coupling that with the weakness at running back, not having a lead guy, is something that might concern me. So we'll see how this plays out.
All right, Damian, how about you?
So I ended up pairing a lot of upside and floor players here. I went with Miles Sanders pretty early, paired him with kind of the safety of Zeke. Same thing with A.J. Brown to go with the high floor of Allen Robinson. And then I don't think I reached, but I went pretty early at tight end with Mark Andrews and Kyler Murray, because even though this is a 12-team league, I think only starting two receivers, only having the one flex, I actually think that they're still going to be usable players later in the draft and on free agency. So I wanted to grab lead options at those positions.
All righty. From Damian, we go over to Keith Lipscomb.
Yeah, I'm generally happy with my team. I never get too excited about my team because I always feel like I could have done something differently. But, yeah, I think starting off with Barkley and David Johnson, I was very happy to get two good pass-catching backs who I think will have big seasons. Thielen was a really nice I was happy to see him fall where he did. McLaurin is a guy I just think has some upside to take another step this season. I got Tyler Higbee as my tight end. It was kind of the last tight end that I was willing to take before before I had to wait a little bit longer and just take one at the very end. And I do like Kareem Hunt. I think that he's a guy that will factor into that offense for sure and be a better player than I think that people were expecting. And Tyler Boyd is my last wide receiver selection I took, and I'm also very happy with him. I think he's a very, very steady player, and I think I have a big season with Joe Burrow.
All right, Matt Bowen, how about you? Your thoughts on your team?
Yeah, I like my squad field. I think you can question my selection of Dalvin Cook over Zeke and Saquon, but I'm going to go back to the offensive structure, the play speed that I see. I mean, he brings juice to that offense. I got two wide receivers in Evans and Galladay, give you scoring upside. And we talked about Evans, you know, there might not be as many vertical opportunities with Tom Brady and how that offense adapts to his throwing style in Tampa. But then I look at the upside guys I got, and Cam Akers, you know, the rookie out of Florida State with the Los Angeles Rams, and I took a shot on Henry Ruggs. I really believe he's going to get more volume than people think, and I'm a fan of his game. And then I picked up David Montgomery. You know, someone told Coach Nagy up in Chicago need to run the football a little bit more, get him involved because his traits are there. And I'm about to, once Keith makes his pick, grab my tight end, Noah Fant. I think Noah Fant's primed for a breakout season in Denver this year. Iowa guy, can't pass on him. Drew Locke's got a big arm. That offense in Denver is very interesting to me because they're so young, so much upside. Let's see what they do.
All right, Matthew, let's go to you. What are your thoughts on your squad?
I really like my squad quite a bit. I think everyone sort of does. I was wondering how it would play out by drafting three running backs first. Obviously McCaffrey, but then Carson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm now drafting Damian Williams, so I have whoever the starting running back is of the Chiefs, that is a very enviable position. I love the fact that Robert Woods fell to me, who I think is like a borderline top 12 guy and a legit low-end wide receiver one. Debo, who I love. Gallup, who I just took, and now so I think there's some nice wide receiver depth there. I have Dak, a top three quarterback. At this point, the tight ends, I'll wait. I'll get a decent tight end. There's a lot of – this year, if you don't get one of the elite guys, I think there's a lot of depth at the position. And so, again, sort of looking at wide receiver here, because that's an area where I could use some. How about some Christian Kirk, who showed flashes last year, and I think that whole offense in Arizona takes another step forward. DeAndre Hopkins is obviously the one there. But I think Kirk is the two when it comes to fantasy value in Arizona. And I think that offense is going to score a lot of points and be throwing a ton. So overall,
all right.
I love my team.
Lots of insight there for Matthew. I like my team as well. I went running back to begin. Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake, which allowed me to attack the depth of wide receiver later on. That'll be a strategy that I plan to follow throughout my draft process. Again, this is a reminder. This is a 12-team PPR mock draft. The entirety of it will be available on ESPN.com if you want to see the pick-by-pick layout of how it all went down. But that's all we have now for the audio podcast version. So for all of those that are taking part in this mock draft, and, of course, for Matthew Berry, I'm Field Yates. We'll talk to you guys sometime soon. And let's be honest, right now you got plenty of time for mock drafts. So do your own and see how your team shakes out. Peace out.
You're in the 06010.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at Geico, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.